We're in a world of rapid change. Would you agree? Rapid change. Things that are one way this week may be entirely different next week. Gas prices today may be different gas prices tomorrow or this afternoon. I can still remember early in our marriage a time where there were gas wars going on, and we could get gas in Marion, Ohio at Meijer for 88 cents a gallon. Imagine that. In Ohio, somebody else imagines it, in Ohio, our weather changes daily. I mean, last week we were listening to snow rumbling off the roof, had like 6 inches of snow, and now we're going to have 74-degree weather today, only in Ohio. They say that technology changes faster now than it ever has before. You can literally buy a computer, a tablet, a mobile phone today, at top of the line, all the bells and whistles with more capability than ever before, and it can be surpassed by the next latest and greatest technology next week. I can remember at one time Caroline and I were collecting videotapes of decent movies that we thought we'd want to hold on to forever, and we acquired quite a few, and they're absolutely obsolete now. We don't even have a machine to play them, but if somebody's interested in a good vintage videotape collection, I can make you a really good deal. Talk to me after the service. Digital cable allows you to watch any program you want, at any time you want, any day you want. It's just a shame that they no longer produce anything worth watching on cable. I still remember as a kid, we'd argue about who had to go turn the channel on the television that was sitting on the floor. And whoever had to get up of me and my siblings, we'd call out place value. That meant that somebody else couldn't sit in our chair while we were up. But if we didn't call place value, our chair was up for grabs. That's how it worked in my house. I think my older brother made that up. You can walk into a mall, into a store, or into a school, and practically everybody from elementary age up is carrying a cell phone. Remember when they used to have things called pay phones? There's still a little payphone thing outside of our post office here in Old Fort. But don't try to make a call there because there's no phone in it any longer. I remember one time about 10 years ago, Caroline and I were walking in a store in the mall, and there was a 90-year-old man who was complaining because he couldn't find his wife in the store. And he said, I'd call her, but she never has her darn cell phone turned on. We didn't even own a cell phone yet, and this guy had his ready to go. Things that were mere speculation 10 years ago are now commonplace. We're rapidly changing in our world. And listen, here's the thing. Too much change, friends, too much change creates great stress to our lives. It really does. So the question then becomes, is there anything in this world that's permanent? Is there anything that's reliable? Is there anything that's constant and consistent that will never change? Let's go to prayer and then we'll try to answer that question. God, we want to know more about you. We want to know more about who you are and what you do, your attributes and your character. God, teach us today as we look into portions of your word that tell us what you're all about. And teach us to this the answer to this question about what doesn't change. God, lead us in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Friends, the answer to that question, what's the constant that doesn't change, is found in James chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Who does not change like shifting shadows. We're in a message series titled, The Truth on God. Exploring what God's really like, exploring God's attributes. And today, we're going to look at what theologians, the big word they call immutability, God's immutability, that God is immutable. That means that God never changes. God never changes. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the first part of that verse, now some of you are saying, I didn't know there was a book in the Bible named Malachi. Well, there is a book in the Bible named Malachi. It's in the Old Testament. Malachi was a prophet. And it's pronounced Malachi, not Malachi, although that would be more fun in my opinion. The name Malachi means my messenger. So this is God's messenger speaking for God. And he says in Malachi 3, 6, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. God's always the same. He's always been the same. He will always be the same. Because he's perfect, he can't get any better and he can't get any worse. Therefore, he'll never change. Because we're imperfect, we do change, don't we? Everything else in all of creation changes except for God. Have you noticed the fact that you're constantly changing? If you've not, take a good look in the mirror. Have you ever run into one of those people from your past several years ago? You've seen them and they come to you and say, oh, you haven't changed a bit. I want to say, who are you trying to fool? I've seen the mirror. My waistline's changed. My hairline's changed. In my family, the men have what we call the quinter peaks. It goes right up here on the sides. We don't necessarily lose our hair, but we get these quinter peaks. So I got the quinter peaks growing. My hair's grayer than it was. It's almost a little bit gray. It started when I was 30. My neck size has changed. We always change in the way that we act, in the way that we talk, the way that we look, and all of those things. But God never changes. Change creates stress in our lives. This morning, we're going to talk about how to stabilize your life in the midst of continual change. We'll focus on four things about God that never change. And these four things can bring stability to your life and to mine. They're things you always can count on, things you can take to the bank, that you can take to the bank. So the first is this: God's love for me never changes. God's love for me never changes. I need to remind myself of that from time to time. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the second part of that verse, it says, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting. You were created to be loved by God. You're an object of God's affection. God's love is consistent and it's continual. One of the reasons we get frustrated in our relationships on this earth is because people do change. They're fickle. They change from one day to the next. You're not the man that I married. My sweet little child's turned into this rebellious teenager. I don't even recognize him anymore. People are unpredictable and inconsistent, and that causes stress in our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 159, can you believe that? That's a lot of verses. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the whole scripture. It's going all the way to verse 159 on this. In Psalm 119, it says, see how I love your instruction, Lord. Your love never changes, so save me. God never changes, and his love for me doesn't change. So the point is this. Here's the point. I never need to doubt God's love for me. I never need to doubt God's love. No matter what happens, no matter what I do, no matter what I feel, no matter how far I feel like I move from God, God's love for me never changes. I can be angry, I can be happy, I can be sad, I can be distant, I can be disobedient to God. God's love for me never changes. Some of you get the idea that once you come to Christ, you become a Christian, now God loves you more. Well, friends, I got news for you. He never loves you more and he never loves you less. Because his love is absolute and it's perfect. He wants you to come into a relationship with him, to be your savior and the Lord of your life more than anything else, but his love for you was the same before that happened as it is after, because his love is consistent and perfect and it never changes. Here's the thing that changes. The thing that changes when you accept Jesus Christ into your life is that you begin to truly love him. That's what changes. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can go to bed tonight. Get up tomorrow morning and not have to worry about whether God's changed his opinion about you, whether he's changed his mind while you were sleeping, because he hasn't. His love is consistent. Some days, we may not feel like we're very loving. You ever have any of those days? Maybe you're loving to those that are closest to you, to your spouse, to your kids, maybe that, but everybody else, you're just like, stay out of my way. Sometimes I'm grumpy. Sometimes I'm cranky and frustrated about things that I haven't gone as I've planned. I'm just not feeling very loving. But God never has bad days. He's never moody. He's never careless. He's never fickle. He never says, you shouldn't have crossed me today, so Zappo, I'm going to get you. God doesn't do that. He's always constant. Sometimes we doubt God's love, but when tragedy strikes or when we pray and it doesn't seem to have an immediate answer that we're looking for or things don't go your way, just remember, God's love hasn't changed for you one single bit. Not one bit. And that's a stabilizer in your life and in my life. Here's a second thing about God that doesn't change. God's character never changes. His character never changes. Things happen in our lives and we're easily strained or shocked, and our character's often altered, isn't it? But nothing alters God's character. In the course of our lives, our tastes, our outlooks, our tempers may change radically. A kind person, a kind, just person may turn into a bitter, crotchety person. A person of goodwill may grow to be cynical and callous. But none of these things changes. None of these changes are true of God. He never becomes less truthful or less merciful or just or good than he used to be. The character of God today is what it always will be, exactly what it was in the Bible times and always has been. God discloses this fact to us when he shares two of his names in the book of Exodus. First, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. Moses said, who do I say sent me? He says, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Friends, God's doing more here than just throwing out a name. He says, I am who I am. In other words, I don't change. What you see in my character is what you get. It's what you get now. It's what you will always get. I am who I am. He then goes on describing himself in another part of Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, still with Moses. God said, also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Again, friends, God's not just throwing out another name here. He's saying forever and forever, from generation to generation, I will be the Lord. This is who I am. I won't. I can't change. My character will always be true. Here's the point. I can trust God to be who Scripture says he is. I can trust God to be exactly who Scripture says that he is. If you read the Bible, in the Bible, for God so loved the world, then you know what? He still loves the world. That love won't change. If you read God is just, then you know that he's always going to be fair. If you read God is kind, God is gracious, God's full of mercy, then friends, that's exactly who God is and will be forever and ever. He says, I am who I am. I am forever the Lord. Here's the third thing about God that doesn't change. God's word never changes. His word never changes. God's laws, his principles, his commands are timeless. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, that says the grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. We just said that verse in one of the songs that we sang. Friends, the Bible's always fresh. It's always relevant. It's always up to date, never obsolete. People want to say, well, times have changed, and that stuff's just old-fashioned. Listen, times may have changed, but God hasn't changed, and neither has his word. Anything that humans write eventually becomes obsolete. It becomes dated. At the rate of scientific discovery, by the time a science textbook is printed, it's already obsolete. Look at a computer manual. If they still even make those, you got to read them online now. A computer manual that no longer works. Just a couple years ago, a couple months ago, that thing was practical and it worked, and now it's not good for anything. It's outdated. Whatever humans write eventually changes. Man's ideas don't last. You need to build your life on something more stable and permanent and unchangeable than the current fad, current therapy, or current thing. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Will never pass away. There's never been any book that's been more attacked, criticized, ridiculed, burned, and outlawed than the Bible. Yet today, all of those Caesars and dictators and fanatics who attacked, criticized, ridiculed, and burned the Bible, you know what? They're all dead. But guess what? The Bible isn't. The Bible's still there. The Bible's still around. It stood the test of time because his word never changes. In Psalm 119, verse 152, it says, long ago, I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Forever. The principles, the laws that he's laid down are made to last forever. Alan Shepard, the very first American astronaut in space, was asked by a reporter just before he got into the capsule, so what is the one thing you're depending on most in this space venture? His answer was classic. He said, I'm depending on the fact that God's laws never change. God's laws never change. What if the rotation of the earth was inconsistent? What if gravity reversed itself every other day? When God made the whole universe, God established some universal laws. They never change. We don't question them. They never change. They never have and they never will. The reason we can study science is because it's so doggone predictable. We can study some verifiable facts of life, of physics, that don't change. Now listen. Just as God's established the universe to operate by physical laws, there are moral and spiritual laws that God set up for us that we can't ignore because they don't change. If we ignore them, do you know what we end up with? We end up with chaos. Do you remember when you were a kid and maybe you're playing a game with another kid and they're cheating? Or they're changing the rules all the time as you play? You can't win that way, can you? Many years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I used to make up some games that we play with my youth group. We have crazy games like a game called Roof Ball. We play it outside with a ball on a roof. I can teach you someday if you want to learn. Played a game called Bottom Volleyball. That's not really what we called it, but I probably can't use the word there that we used in Bottom Volleyball. And I was consistently known for changing the rules as we played the games. And what I would do is we get toward the end of the game. If my team was losing, I'd kind of try to pair myself with the kids that maybe weren't as challenged as the others. We get toward the end of the game, and if we were losing, I'd say, next point wins. And if we scored that last point, we'd win the game. I learned that from my youth pastor. That's where I learned that. Friends, what if God played life like that, though? What if at the end of the game, he said, okay, we're going to change the rules on you? What if he changed the rules all the way along? What if he wasn't consistent? What if he was a changing God? If God changed the rules in the end, you know what? We'd all be in a whole lot of trouble. Which rules are we playing by today, God? God has established some laws, principles, commands in his word that do not change. There are some absolutes. There are some things that will always be right, and there's some things that will always be wrong. It's not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of the times changing. Contrary to public opinion, God does not invent a new set of rules for every generation. He's established them in the beginning, and they last forever. Here's what Satan's temptation is. Satan's temptation is always to get you to question God's word. The first temptation, what does he do? Satan asks Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat from that tree? Is that really what God's word was? He's getting Eve to question, did God really say that I shouldn't do that? Today, Satan's put a little twist on that temptation. The phrase that I hear over and over again is, well, that's your interpretation. That's just your interpretation. Friends, there is one interpretation for Scripture. Lots of applications, but there's one interpretation, one thing that's absolutely right and things that are absolutely wrong. When you go up to a stop sign, how do you interpret that? S-T-O-P, it means one thing, doesn't it? It means to stop. The Bible says don't have sex outside of marriage. Then don't have sex outside of marriage. The Bible says don't lie. Then don't lie. The Bible says don't get drunk. Then don't get drunk. The Bible says, be a good steward of what you have and give to God, then be a good steward of what you have and give to God. The Bible says, don't steal, then don't steal. There's no interpretation needed there. That's pretty black and white. The fact is God's word has not changed. It's not changed. Some of you may be thinking to yourselves, well, you know, now he's gone from messing to meddling. You know what? I've not done any such thing. God's word meddles. Whenever we're not in sync with God, God's word meddles with our lives. And you know what? It meddles with my life, and I want it to meddle with my life, because when God meddles with my life, it makes me a better person. It brings more fulfillment in my life when I get back in sync with him when I'm out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 24 says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Jesus said there are two ways to build your house. You can build it on sand, or you can build it on a rock. If you don't build it on a solid foundation, that whole building will eventually tilt and fall over. You've got to have a solid foundation for your life, something that doesn't change. God's saying that if you build your life on the current fad, the current therapy, the current trend, whatever it is, whatever you read in the cosmos, you name it, then your building's on shifting sands, and you're going to have an unstable life when changes to life come. Those changes are inevitable. If you want to have stability when the stresses of life come to you, then you've got to build your life on something solid, something that never, ever changes. The point is this. If I want to have stability in my life, stability comes from building my life on God's unchangeable word. God's unchangeable word. I don't build my life on the advice of my friends. Their advice might be just as wrong as mine is. I build my life on that which will never change. It's always consistent. It will be consistent 50, 100, 1,000 years from now. Here's a secret to your stress and to mine. A secret to our stress. If you want to have more stability in your life when you're under stress, then get to know Scripture. Get to know what the Bible says. Start filling your mind with the things that never change. And then when you need them, God's going to bring them to your mind. If you're wondering what you should do in a situation, God will pop those verses to your mind. You won't always have a Bible with you. The fact is if you want stability in your life, you've got to base it on God's unchanging word. Now, friends, I need to share something with us today to be honest with you, I really hate to have to talk about. I hate to bring it up, especially with guests in the house today, and I know we have guests in our house. I really hate to, but as we talk about God's unchanging word, I feel that I must. Beginning on May 10th through May 20th, less than a month from now, the United Methodist Church, as which we're a part of, will be holding their general conference, which meets every 4 years. One of the topics that will be the heat of a good deal of the discussions at conference is human sexuality as relates to the topic of homosexuality. It's a heated topic. Every 4 years, this year, it will be the most heated that it's ever been. Now, you need to know about this for a couple of reasons. One is because you're likely to hear and read more about this in the news than anything else that goes on at General Conference. Anything good that's coming out of General Conference, you're not likely to hear that. You're going to hear about this issue. You're going to see things that are true about it and things that aren't true about it in the headlines and in the news. That will happen if you're watching any news on it at all. The second reason you need to know about this is because there's a hard push from strong delegations to change our current biblical stance on what we've held on homosexuality, which in short is this. This is the stance of the United Methodist Church. We affirm that all persons are individuals of sacred worth, created in the image of God. All persons need the ministry of the church in their struggles for human fulfillment, as well as the spiritual and emotional care of a fellowship that enables reconciling relationships with God, with others, and with self. The United Methodist Church does not condone the practice of homosexuality and considers this practice incompatible with Christian teaching. The United Methodist Church does not condone homosexual marriage or the ordination of homosexuals. Now, notice a word that is not in there. The word condemn is not in there. The church doesn't have a place to condemn anyone. The church doesn't condone these things, does not believe they're compatible with Scripture. understand, friends, that God's word does speak clearly to support this current stance that we have, and God's word doesn't change. I don't know what's going to happen in the 2016 General Conference, but I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you to be blindsided if something does happen. I don't want to get to a change and you're hearing about it for the first time. Speculation is that our official stance will stay the same, but the pastors and churches that already have begun to will continue to defy the discipline and do what they want anyway. There are several other options being pursued as well. There are like thousands of recommendations on this issue alone that are coming to General Conference. They may be lucky to get to a few. There'll be protesters there. There's going to be all kinds of activity that makes it hard to even talk about it. The Council of Bishops has called all United Methodist churches to prayer. And this is what I'm asking for us to do. In this very difficult day and age, I encourage you to take time over the remainder of this month and next month to fast, potentially fast, and to pray about the business conducted at our General Conference. Personally, the Lord has been waking me up almost every night for months, about an hour or two before I normally get up, to pray for the United Methodist Church and General Conference. When I wake up in those times, I'm very awake, and I take just a few moments to pray that truth, the truth of Scripture, will prevail in the decisions at General Conference, and the United Methodist Church will turn back to Jesus and be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm completely awake. I pray those prayers, and then God allows me to go back to sleep. It happens almost every night. It has been happening for months. When the General Conference is completed, we'll decipher what the outcome is. When we have a chance to find out what really went on, whether there's really changes that are supposed to be happening, once we decipher it, we'll determine if it merits any action on our part as a church, because we must be on the side of an unchanging God and his unchanging word. Here's the fourth thing about God that doesn't change, that brings stability to our lives. God's purpose for my life will never change. His purpose for my life. No matter what happens to you, in you, through you, it will never change. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24 says, "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned it, so it will be, and as I have purposed it, so it will stand." God's at work in human history. History is really his story. His story, it's God's story. What's the world coming to? It's coming to the very climax that God planned from the very beginning. I'm not sure what that all involves, but I do know, I don't know it all, what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. It's coming to its planned climax. The Bible says nobody knows. Even the Son of Man doesn't know. Only the Father in heaven knows. If someone ever comes up to you and tells you they know the date and the time that Christ will be coming back, his return, then you're going to know for a fact that's not the date. Because the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. Fortunately, as Christians, the important thing is we're on the winning side. That's the good news. In Psalm chapter 33, verse 11, it says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations." Let me ask you something. Do your plans ever change? I bet they do. How often do they change? Some people say moment by moment. Why do your plans change so much? There are two reasons. First, because you don't have the perspective or foresight to know everything that's going to happen. Maybe now you know something you didn't know, so now something is different for you and your plans have changed. The other reason your plans change is maybe you don't have the power to implement the plans that you intended to do. You've run out of time, you've run out of money and energy and resources, effort, whatever, so your plans change. Well, since God is omniscient, that means God knows everything. And God is omnipotent, that means God's all-powerful. God has the knowledge. He has the power. His plans never have to change. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "His ways are eternal." His ways are eternal. The point for you and me today to make this practical is God does not have a plan B for my life. God does not have a plan B. Now, if you're like me, you're probably saying, but I know I've stepped out of God's will, out of his plan many times in my life. Yes, there's something we have called free will, called free choice. And we can live outside of God's plan for us, outside of his purpose for us. But his plan and purpose for you is still there, and it's still the same. Since we step out of God's plan so many times through our life, doesn't that mean that we've messed up? We've lost his purpose for us? Doesn't that mean that we have to move on to a plan B because we have to take second or third best because we've missed plan A and now we're on plan B or C or D, or for me, there's probably not enough alphabet there. Friends, here's the problem with that line of thinking. Nowhere in Scripture, you read it, nowhere in Scripture do you see, and so he or she settled for second best. You don't see that in Scripture anywhere. That means no matter what's happened in your life, you're still on plan A. God hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't changed his purpose for your life. So what is God's purpose for my life? First, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that God's purpose for your life is that you might have life. It says the thief comes to kill and destroy. That's Satan. That's his purpose for you. His plan is to kill and destroy us. But that's not God's plan. God goes on to say, I have come that you might have life to the full. God wants you and me to have abundant life. Abundant life. I don't care how many times you've screwed up. I don't care how many times you've fallen away. I don't care how far away you feel like you are from God right now. His purpose for your life doesn't change. He wants you to have abundant life. Live it and don't just exist. A second purpose God has is in Romans 8:29, where God says God's purpose for your life is to become like Jesus. His purpose is that you learn to think like Jesus, and you learn to feel like Jesus, and you learn to act as Jesus would act, to become like Jesus. The third purpose is this. In Matthew 28:19, it says that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. Friends, don't you get it? Don't you get it? God's purpose isn't just about us. I'm so tired of our country's stinking me, me, me attitude that sometimes I want to puke. Neither is God's purpose all about him. Friends, it's about us and him. Us having a living, breathing, active, vibrant relationship with the God of all the universe, and us imparting that to others in the world to make disciples. That's God's purpose for my life and for your life. And you know what? It doesn't change. Having an abundant life is God's purpose for my life. Becoming like Jesus is God's purpose for my life. Making disciples is God's purpose for my life. Those purposes never, never change. God doesn't have a plan B. The thing that many, many, many Christians, when they're honest with themselves, they have to say, well, you know what? I'm just not sure I'm living in God's purposes. I'm kind of just living. And friends, you know what? That's just the sad truth. Many Christians go through their whole lives missing God's purpose, but his purpose for us, our lives, is still the same. It's not changed. The question is, will you make it your purpose? There's nothing more exhausting than living purposelessly through life, and there's nothing more exuberating than living within God's purpose for your life. It all begins with a relationship. We've talked about that for a couple weeks now. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Something else that never changes, God's plan of salvation. You will be saved. For 2,000 years, there's only been one way to get to know God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his son. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I'm not just a good way. I'm not just a best way. I'm not just one way. I'm the way. You don't get there through any other spiritual force, through angels or demons. You don't get there through any other religion, for Buddha or Allah. No other way, just through Jesus. He wants you to come to him and to establish a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And as Romans And as Romans 10:9 puts it, it's simple. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It takes both. If you're just confessing with your mouth, it's just lip service. If you just believe in your heart but you never confess it, you're no different than the demons. The demons believe it as well. They know Jesus is God. They know he's Lord. They're just not going to confess that with their mouth to make him their Lord. If your life's in your life between now and the time that you die, however long that is, friends, you're going to experience many stresses from change in your life. My question becomes, how are you going to respond to those changes? You can't prepare for them because they're not predictable. You don't know what they're going to be or how they're going to come. How are you going to handle them? What's going to be the source of stability in your life? For me, my source of stability is going to be the unchanging God. The unchanging God. Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust in the Lord are as steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance. That stability, unmoved by any circumstance, security, stability, confidence come from being anchored in an unchanging God. When everything around us is changing in this throwaway society that we live in, when nothing remains the same, there's one thing that never changes, and that's God and these aspects of him that we've talked about today. Let's pray together. God, it just came to my mind last night as I was reviewing and thinking about this message, how important this part of you is for us to grasp. Because if we serve a God who changes, then we're in a heap of trouble. If we serve a God who changes, that means that you don't really know what's going to happen. You're not really perfect. You're not really all-powerful because you're still becoming. You're not there yet. Changing signifies people who've not achieved all they can be. And God, if you're changing, that means that we don't have anything stable to stand on at all. If God changes and shifts and who you are, God, and what your word says, we have nothing to cling to in this life. It's the fact that you are unchanging, God, that makes you the immutable one, that makes you the one who is our strength in the storm, that gets us through every life stress, that lets us know there's one anchor we can always count on that's not going anywhere. There is great freedom, great, great freedom in counting on a God that doesn't change. And his word that doesn't change. It gives us direction for life. Thank you, dear Jesus, for loving us and for including us in your story. In your name we pray, amen. Friends, that is got to be the greatest way we can end this today, to talk about how God's love never fails. And a lot of us don't have a hard time grasping that. We want to cling on to God's love never failing, God's grace never failing. What we have struggles with sometimes is realizing that God's truth doesn't fail either, and God's justice doesn't fail either, and what's right and what's wrong doesn't fail either. We want to grab onto that soft, warm stuff that makes us always feel comfortable, but those other things are just as true, and they might be really difficult to hear, and I have no doubt that in this audience today there are those that some of the very things I spoke on God's word not changing hit some very direct parts of your life. But what kind of person or pastor would I would be not to tell you about his truth that doesn't change, that doesn't fail, just to give you the gushy love stuff? None of it fails. But the great truth is that his love doesn't either. And no matter where we find ourselves today with God, his love is prevailing with you. He's holding steady with you. He wants to bring you to a place where you can acknowledge that and know that more and more, a place where you can live life that's abundant and to the full. Because it's not when you're messing in the things that he says we shouldn't do. And on the other side of it, we always find that I'm not feeling too fulfilled by this when I'm outside of sync with God. It always ends up that way. When we're not walking in sync with God, it doesn't leave a fulfillment. When you wake up with a hangover, that doesn't leave you with fulfillment. When you wake up in the bed of yet another person who's not your spouse, that does not leave fulfillment. You know it and I know it. I've gotten so far more discussion from this series than anything I've had in a long time. Either it's because of the feeling of this atmosphere and people feel like they can come talk to me, or it's because it's hitting some direct areas of their life. I'm always open to dialogue with you, to talk with you, to talk it through, to hear opinions. God doesn't change, and I find stability in that.